Hello, everyone. How are you all doing? We are back again to continue our last week's topic, Few Good Men. This is Hour of Healing. I am your host, Candace. I'm here with Dr. Joe again to discuss a thought-provoking topic. So, Dr. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Sister Candace.
I hope all is well with you, your family, everyone out there.
Absolutely. By God's grace.
We thank God. We thank God. So this week's is Few Good Men, but we're going to really focus on the manifestations of, right? Mm-hmm. So last week we spoke about how you can recognize a good man or yes. a good woman. And it was really eye-opening because the society we live in now gives so many informations out there, yet it's not really helping or bettering our life. So. Mm. So it was good to really delve into some of the stuff we really talked about. I'll give it over to you if you want to give us a brief summary of where we ended last week, or, and then we'll dive into today's discussion.
Yes, Dr. Candace. So last week, what we tried to focus on was some of the ways that we can recognize who a good person is. Mm-hmm. And I use that term loosely because people can be good in a lot of things, but there are certain things that you don't want to compromise on. And those are some of the things we talked about. So we focused a lot on the areas of neglect, love, abuse, trustworthiness. One of the ones that I didn't mention to our audience, and so I'll go ahead and talk about that now, is that of self-sacrifice, that a good man will travail on your behalf. They will travail not just for a moment, but until you arrive to where you need to be. And so if that person is your mentor, they will do everything necessary to ensure that you step into your destiny. And even when you have stepped into your destiny, they will not leave you. Sister Candace, you will find today, as we talk through our conversation today, that part of the reason why a lot of us slack when we have attained success is because the people who helped us get there are no longer around us. Mm. And so it causes complacency. So it's not just because of them. Sometimes it's because of our own attitude once we have success. For lack of a better word, once we have arrived. Sometimes our attitude changes, but other times it's not because our attitude has changed, but rather they don't see the need to still be there to assist us. And sometimes when you have a helper who is determined, or who, for instance, is supposed to be someone who bears your burden in life, it doesn't matter how rich or great you become, that helper is still needed. And so if you lose out on that helper, now who is going to bear the burdens of your life? Mm. We live in a time where there is a lot of sycophants. There are a lot of people around great men and great women. But truly, are they helping them become good men? And so we'll be diving a bit more into this as we talk today. But I thought I will bring that up to complete our conversation from last week, which I think we couldn't do because of time.
Right, right. Thank you for that, Dr. Joe. And I like the fact that you said some people are good in a lot of things, or people can be good in a lot of things. And that helps us to really narrow it down to what is needed, right? Yes. You can be good in a lot of things, but there are a few things that are important for you to be good in,
yes,
to be a good man, yes, right? So I like that you brought that in, because I think last week I was saying someone would say, oh, they do this for me, but they don't do this doesn't mean they're bad, they are this, but there are some things that are needed, that are pivotal for that person to really do to be able to fit in this category.
Absolutely. So
let's dive right into the manifestation aspect of today's discussion. Because I'm thinking, if a person does not have a good man or a good person in their life, what becomes of them? Like, someone can say, I'm a good person, for myself, me, myself, and I. I'm good to myself, good for myself, good about my business for myself. So I'm enough. It's okay. I'm good to me. And I think that's one of the things that is going out there. Like, be good to yourself. Take care of yourself. Pamper yourself. Spoil yourself. Be able to do all these things for yourself. I don't need someone else to be good to me, right?
Mm.
So what becomes of a person if they don't have the right, these kind of people around them? If we...
Yes, Candice, that's a very, very powerful question. And as you were talking, something that I had wanted to bring up last week popped up in my mind. Paul makes a very powerful statement in the book of Romans about Christ giving his life for us. And he said that in this we know that the love of God, that whilst we were still his enemies, mm-hmm. that he died for us. But the second part of that statement is also equally as important when it comes to human relationships. That for someone to die for their enemy is established. That has to be divine. Nobody will do that.
Mm.
But he said, though for a good person, someone may consider dying for them. And I bring that up as the introduction to the manifestations or what becomes of a person who lacks a good man in their life. Because you will find that if you have a good man in your life, there is a chance, based on what Paul says, there is always hope that help will come for you. But if you lack these people, what are some of the things that happen? The things that happen are not just physical and they are not just spiritual. Remember last week when we talked about neglect, I said neglect of love and neglect of your spiritual health. So the manifestations can be in both. One of the key manifestations of neglect is hunger. If you are suffering from the neglect, or if you lack the presence of someone who cares about your spiritual health, you go hungry. And so you become hungry spiritually, but also physically you become hungry because no one is feeding you. And many of the things that we see people do that makes us question their character is really out of hunger. Because the one who is hungry will do everything necessary to try to stay alive. And so people will give themselves to all kinds of behaviors, all kinds of things that are not even healthy for them. Because, Sister Candice, have we ever asked ourselves that if you are not hungry, will you eat junk food?
Well, some people might, but no.
If you are well fed, junk food will not be attractive to you because you are well fed.
Right.
And that also happens spiritually. In the spiritual way, let me tell you how this happens. It happens with many people leaving the church because they are hungry. Their soul yearns for something that they hoped and prayed they will find in the church. But because, my dear man or woman of God, we are not feeding them, they are beginning to find a cure for their hunger elsewhere, in politicians, in spiritists, in things, in worldly things, in material things. So you will find that someone who genuinely came to church with a burden for their soul to be satisfied now don't want to have anything at all to do with God. Why? Because we neglected them. But for the person who is dealing with this, be rest assured, there is still a few good men. They are not many. And so finding them is difficult. But you can find them. Yes, your man or woman of God may have disappointed you. They may have even deepened the depth or the hunger that you came to church with to find satisfaction. But believe you me, God is still raising men. So there are still few good men. They are hard to find, but you can find them. The second thing that we see, Sister Candace, out of neglect is poverty. Whoever suffers from neglect becomes poor. Why? Because you will spend your resources trying to fill the void created by neglect. And unfortunately, the void created by the lack of genuine love or the lack of a genuine concern for your spiritual health cannot be filled by any resource that is within us. And so we spend all ourselves and we are spent to the point of poverty, only for us to realize that we cannot fill that void. The only way we fill that void is to have God show us mercy. And Sister Candace, whilst I mention mercy, let me go ahead and chip this in here. Sometimes we mistaken that we only need grace and mercy when we need salvation. But that is not true. And I want our audience to be able to understand what I'm about to say. Have you not read in your Bible that the mercies of God are renewed daily? Have you not read in the book of Psalm that when God was ready to show favor and help his people, the first thing God did was to introduce to them mercy? He says, "Thou will arise and have mercy upon Zion, because the time to favor her has come." Yes, the appointed time. Sister Candace, do we realize that even though it was the appointed time, mercy still had to be introduced into that equation? In other words, my dear Christian brother or sister, what I want you to understand is this, that no matter the good prophecies and promises that you have of God given to you by genuine men and women of God, without mercy, they will not be fulfilled. Because the very act of answering your prayers, in most instances, is just out of mercy. For even praying right, most of the time we can't. Let me end that there, so I don't get churchy on you. So the second manifestation of neglect is poverty. The second is, have you heard of the word vagabond?
Right.
And how do we get that word? Do you realize that that also is a manifestation of neglect? And I will say that in the physical, it's easy to identify who a vagabond is because they are destitute. They don't have a roof over their head. But have you thought about how many sit in our pews, in our churches, each and every week, but still are spiritually vagabonds? They sit in our pews each and every week, but don't have that roof spiritually over their head. How do we know this? Or why am I confident of this? How many are sitting in our pews but are still living in fear? How many are sitting in our pews each and every Sunday, but they are still living destitute lives? Not because they are lazy, not because they don't want to work, not because they are not trying, but because of the lack of a teaching priest. The Bible has become only but a novel that they read. It's not benefiting them. They are not seeing the hidden mysteries or the hidden wisdom of God for their lives in the Bible. Why? Because the woman of God has not given herself, or the man of God has not paid the price to be able to unlock these mysteries to them for their profiting. How many spiritual vagabonds do you have in your congregation, dear man of God?
Plenty. So that's very good, Dr. Joe, that you brought that in. And I'm actually thinking to myself, you're talking about a situation with church members and people in the church pews. And my whole thing is, so you brought it in that, you know, they are hungry. That's why some of them leave the church, because they are not really being fed of what they're actually hoping for and things like that. But I can't help but think to myself, does the one that's heading the church, or the leaders of the church, are they even aware of this need, right? So the thing that I wanted to possibly bring it in for us to elaborate on is, does a good man always knows your need? Can they always fill up your need?
So a good man may not always know what you are lacking, but a good man knows what you need to thrive.
Okay.
And so it's, you don't necessarily have to even ask.
Okay.
So remember last week, I made reference to the book of Proverbs, that a good man, according to the Bible, leaves an inheritance for their children's children. They are probably not even born when they are building that inheritance for them. Mm. But they know what they need to thrive.
Okay.
And so that is the simplest way that I can answer that question.
Right.
Because if you truly, talking about men and women of God, if you truly want to know the need of your congregation, you will know.
Yeah.
Because, Takendis, every pastor has been a church member before. We don't think about it often, but I can almost with certainty tell you that everyone who formed a church outside of the apparent church did so because of things that they wanted to change.
But when you get up there, it's like, you know, when they get up there, when you get up there, it's like, this is what the congregation is saying. They keep complaining. You used to complain once, but we forget, you know. But yeah, I think that's a good answer, and that's reasonable to say that, because I'm thinking to myself, our whole point is, do this for me. But is it what you need to thrive?
Yes. Right?
And that's the key there. That's the
correct
key, what you need to thrive. And it takes me back to the love aspect, because when you genuinely, truly love someone, right, and you're a good person and you genuinely love someone, you will know. You'll perceive, like, okay, I have this person with me. Let's say, like, maybe they're not your child. It's an adopted child. They're 5 years old. You know they need to go to school. They don't need to tell. Like, you get what I mean? Like,
correct.
There are things, if it's coming from a genuine place, a good place, you will know what that person needs to thrive.
Absolutely.
The stage you're in, what do they need? You think about these things. So it's really good, because it's giving us a perspective of how to really size up these men out here and this women out here, you know? Like,
yeah, Sister Candice, thank you for that. In listing the manifestations of the absence of a good man, the next one I will talk about is the manifestations of abuse. Okay. And I think last week we even started talking about this when we were explaining how abuse works and things like that. And that was the issue of insecurity that I was posing to our audience, that is the person who is buying you clothes every day that you are saying is a good person. Are you secured with them? Because if you still feel insecurity because of abuse, then they are not good for you.
Well, let me bring it in here. Do you need the clothes to thrive? Like, is that what?
Exactly.
Right? The beating is doing more. So actually, with you right now talking about the abuse aspect, one thing that I'm actually also thinking about, you know, some, you know, normally when we're doing these discussions, I either put myself in the place or I put my peers or like the younger generation, so I can think for them and be able to ask these kind of questions. So one of the things that right now I'm thinking about is that one of the mistakes that we tend to make as people receiving a good man is that we try to accept what people have to offer us rather than how we want people to treat us. For example, let me explain. So with the abuse situation, someone is beating you, right? Or emotionally, physically, they're abusing you, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit down as a person and you check yourself, you check your mind, you check your heart, you check your, you know, internally, you realize this is not love for me.
Mm.
This is not good to me, mm-hmm. right? But they are telling you, I love you. That's why I do it. And then we accept that, right? So I feel like every person, regardless of, and excuse me for saying this, regardless of how broken you may be, regardless of what you've been through, there is a standard goodness in you of knowing or being able to recognize what's right or what is acceptable.
So, Sister Candace, that's actually very interesting because it ties into the next point that I was going to make. And maybe that may shed some light on what you're saying. Yeah. Because I find that one of the reasons why we accept, like you're saying, we accept what we are getting is because the absence of a good man in our life also births identity crisis.
Mm.
Abuse manifest or yields crisis of our identity. And so the ones suffering abuse don't know themselves enough to reject what they are just getting.
Being given. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
okay.
So I think that is more of the issue than them not wanting to be positive about themselves. Their identity, because of the absence of a good man, is compromised.
Insecurities.
Yes. And when the identity is compromised, you accept whatever you are given. And that is what leads people to feel stuck in their situations. Because if you have the right understanding of who you are, you will not let someone dictate for you what is not good for you. But because of the compromised in identity, that leads you to become stuck. But Sister Candace, this I am talking from a physical standpoint, but I think the spiritual implications are even more dire. Yes. How does spiritual identity crisis manifest? When your identity is compromised spiritually, you feed on whatever is being served to you. And so if your leader, if your man of God is serving you gibberish,
you'll take it.
That is what you feed. And Sister Candace, it's a sad thing, but look around the world. You know, I just returned from a trip to West Africa. And I will tell you that some of these preachers with thousands of congregations, their practices, their messages are flat out occultic. But yes, still, people will give their lives to defend them as men of God. Why? Because the identity has been compromised. And so they don't feel they are stuck. They are actually stuck.
Wow. So, wow. This is really bringing me back to the theme that we are discussing, actually, because, wow, because this is very bad. This is dangerous because I'm thinking about it in the perspective of the church, the kingdom of God. And
yes.
So, wow. So, okay. So this is what I'm seeing. Like, we have men of God, women of God who are not good men.
Yes.
And that's very bad. That is very dangerous. It's taking me back to this culture thing that we've set up in place where when a preacher is preaching, I don't have any right to question what he's saying or she is saying within myself. I don't have any right to try to see a different perspective about what you're saying. It's like, just receive and take it and accept it, right? And I think it goes back to this, it's how we've been set, served continually. And so it's like it has put our identity into a compromised position. And so we just want to take whatever is being given to us. But this is dangerous because this is mass, like people, a whole bunch of people listening to something and not feeling like they can question.
But Sister Candace, let's let our Christian audience be honest with themselves. Where in this world is the most abuse happening today? In the church. What you are saying, as we feel we don't have the right to question, when did that become the norm? Because remember, in the scripture, Paul said that the people of Berea were unlike the other places that I had went on evangelism mission. Why? Because when they have heard you preach, they went back and searched the word. And so Jesus said, "Herein are you my disciples, when you hear my words and you do them." How do you do them? You do them by verifying what you have been given, the food you have been served. Before you eat it, you verify that it's good for your health, and then you eat it to nourish you for what you are to do. Doing just doesn't come from hearing something. No, you have the confidence to do what you have to do when you are convinced that the instructions you have is legitimate. And so, when I say, "Candy, sit," yes, the instruction had come. But for you to sit, you actually look at the chair to make sure that it is in place before you sit. If there is no chair and you sit, where are you sitting?
Yeah, but we don't have that right.
And the reason why we feel we don't have that right is because of the abuse. In the name of God, men and women have used the pulpit to become the object of manipulation. So most of us in church are more manipulated than being trained. Or being transformed. Yes, that's a better word. We are being manipulated. Our emotions are being played on. Sister Candace, it's a sad observation that I have made, but there are so many men and women of God that I have heard in past years that their sermons are just engineered to bring up an emotional response. And so I ask myself, when I'm watching all these videos and hearing all these people scream and shout and catch the spirit or whatever you will call it, that how many lives are being transformed? The absence of a good man will cause you to stay in one church for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of your life, but you will still find yourself making that statement that this is just who I am.
Wow, that's serious. And you know, I feel like there's this thing too that comes around that like say if you have a friend or someone sitting next to you or something, then you say something like, you know, what they said is not in the Bible. Or you just make a comment that's like challenging whatever the one that you are listening to said. Or you make a statement that's like you're thinking for yourself outside of what they said. It's like you're being prideful. There's like this, these words that is thrown at you. You're being prideful. You're being this. You're being... So there's this thing that's like, even if you try, you get shut down, right? And I like what you're saying because, and I remember I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, I think I made some, you know, like one of those vague statements you make, like, and then they said something and I was like, oh, you know, the Bible says that Jesus did so many miracles, but not all of them are recorded in the word. So there are some revelations. It's not in the word, right?
Yeah.
And then the person says something to me that I never forgot. They said, well, the Bible is what I'm using to verify everything and anything. So if I don't see it written in the Bible, I cannot bet on it. I can't go in that person's revelation to try to figure out where they go. So there are revelations coming. And I think that perspective too is somehow affecting certain people whose mindset are not built to some degree. Because yes, revelations are good. Yes, doctrines are good. But to generalize doctrine or to generalize your personal revelation, it becomes, you get what I mean? God can deal with you
personally. So the truth is, this is actually not a difficult thing to sort out. Personal revelations are things that are real, they are true, and they are godly.
But they still can be in the, they can be verified
by
the Bible.
They all must.
Thank you.
Be verified with the scripture.
Yeah, but it's getting to a point that they're saying. This doesn't have to be in the Bible.
And so that is, second, there's two things you've said that I want to respond to quickly so we can wrap up today. I don't think we were even able to go through all this, but it's okay. We can still wrap up. One, any man or woman of God who restricts their members from coming to them to seek more in-depth explanation of their message or of the Bible is insecure in themselves. And may I even dare say, needs to go back to the foundation and build themselves. Jesus answered questions. The word of God incarnate welcomed questions. Because if you don't address the questions of people, how do you help their unbelief and their lack of understanding?
I feel like even you need to grow too, just because, I don't want to throw a bomb here, but I'm like, you're a man of God, a woman of God. Sometimes questions challenge your belief system.
And so that is just the fact of it. It might not be nice, but this is hour of healing. We are here to heal, not be nice.
My God.
But every man or woman of God must welcome questions from their members, especially on what they have preached or what they have said. If it's somebody else's sermon and you don't want to deal with it, I get it, because there are a lot of sermons going on around. But when it comes to your own message, if you are not convinced by your own message, why do you want somebody to be convinced by it? And the only way we know that you are convinced by your message is when you are not shaken when questions are posed to your message. Mm-hmm. It's a litmus test.
Yeah, the ultimate.
Now, the second thing I wanted to address is this issue of the personal revelation. Sister Candace, the reason why a lot of us are in trouble today is because we have relegated our personal Christian responsibility to a few preachers. This is what I mean. What we have to do to grow as Christians by staying in the Word, to allow the Word to transform us, we have relegated that to a few men of God. And so all that someone knows about what Scripture teaches is what their pastor have taught them.
Well,
they have not been taught by the Spirit. They have not gone to the school of the Spirit by staying in the Word to be transformed. When we were in Sunday school, they taught us a song, "Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow." And the truth is, the work of men of God is truly to help unlock the hidden wisdom that is embedded in Scripture. So they are supplemental in most cases. The growth process comes from what you are learning by the Word. If your man of God is not teaching according to the precepts of the Bible, how would you know if you are not studying it for yourself? And sometimes, Sister Candace, people make it seem like it's such a big thing. No. You know, when you have read the Bible, just reading it and becoming familiar with it, your preacher, your pastor may say something in their sermon, and right away, the Spirit of God, because of the Word in you, has a reference point to attach that to say that that is not it. If you don't have the Word in you, the Spirit of God really has no reference point in you to even correct the error that you are listening to. And so you can't grow. So let's stop it with all these. This is a personal revelation God gave me, and so you're not going to find it in the Bible. Then it's not from God. You may have encountered a familiar spirit. If it is from God, then it can be verified using the Bible. It's as simple as that. The Bible is not God, but the Bible contains the richest and the most complete capture of God that is given to humankind. And so when you have your personal revelation and you are writing it in your book, ensure that it's consistent with the Bible. Because, Sister Candace, I've said this before, and I will say it again. It's not only the Spirit of God that works in the spiritual realm. There are many, many, many spirits.
You said it off camera.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was in our conversation.
There are many, many, many spirits that work in the spiritual realm. And so,
whilst you are tapping into knowledge.
Yes. And embracing the encounters you are having, be mindful, because you may just be encountering an angel of light. And nowhere in Scripture was it ever told that the angel of light is actually a good angel.
So bad.
And so, Sister Candace, now you understand what I said last week when we started our conversation, that could it be that the many rebellion that we are seeing in our young generation, could it just be that it's because of the absence of a few good men.
I don't think it could be. It is. Yeah, because I feel like you said, it's a few, but you can tell when a person has had an encounter with a good person or yes. a good man. You can tell traces of that person. Like, I mean, traces of it in that person's life, their personality, their thought process. You can tell. So there are a lot of things that we see that when you trace it, there is a source. And some of these sources that are causing whatever we are seeing that we don't like are little things, you know,
yes.
such as this. It's nothing crazy. But we're going to wrap up today on our topic for the past 2 weeks, A Few Good Men. So be sure to go listen to last week's if you have not. I will hand it back to Dr. Joe as he wraps us up for this week's Hour of Healing discussion. We hope we healed something in you, because that's the whole point, right?
Thank you so much, Sister Candace, for hosting us today. And I want, by way of summary, I will touch on a few other things and then try to wrap up in some way within the next 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Because, Sister Candace, it will be important for our audience to understand that though these men are few, they are needed. You need a good man or you need a good woman in your life. We're not talking about marriage. We're not talking about relationships. We're talking about the things that if you lack, you will have these manifestations that we have talked about today. In our society and in our communities, I want our audience to understand that a few good men, though few, are irreplaceable. And so if you find one, hold on to them. And if you find one, don't be selfish. Lead others to them.
That person.
And if you have it in you to become one, a leader, a preacher, a mentor, a teacher, do it with all honor and diligence. Because for a good person, someone may consider dying. That means that there is always that possibility or that hope that if we remain good, someone can step in to help when we need it. Could that someone be you? Think about it. Sister Candace, I want to wrap up by going back to the passage that I had brought up in the beginning of our conversation. That I want our audience to remember this, that when people come to you with good gestures, it does not necessarily mean they are good.
That's the problem.
Good men are very few. And so when everyone is coming to you with good gestures, remember our words today. The people came and offered to help them build. But when they said no because of the hand of God upon them, they accused them, they bullied them, they didn't respect them, they abused them,
they belittled them,
and brought them to the point of neglect. There is always
a catch.
Something that the one who is not a good man is up to doing. And so we pray that God will give you grace and help you as you go through your weeks and days and years to encounter a good man. And when you have encountered them, share them with the world. Sister Candace says, share them with her.
Yes.
God bless you so much for tuning in to Hour of Healing this week. We hope you have been blessed, healed, restored, and challenged on this conversation on a few good men. We will see you same time next week with another life-changing and thought-provoking topic. God bless you. Bye-bye.